Hello, listener. NFL Week 6. And who's in the mix for that number one pick? Currently, it's Cleveland's to, well, quite literally lose. In San Francisco, they want it too, after Buffalo goes ballistic on the sad old 49ers. As for the remainder of the season, will Chip ditch it for Deshaun? But if so, which one? Kaiser or Watson? Elsewhere, in movie-themed punland, the good old folk of Green Bay see a broke pack routing as Aaron and his boys get rogered by a bunch of cowboys. Ooh, air. And down in Washington, I think Philly's playoff chances came and went as the Eagles stumbled while Matt Jones rumbled. Justin's here too, still thankful for that interception. Errol Thomas's beautiful catch with hands softer than Falcon superfan Tim's hair. Well, nearly. And let's not mention the PI call or lack thereof. Where does that leave the power rankings? Well, listener, let's you, me, and Justin find out. Welcome to the next Fan Up Power Rankings. Justin, let's do this.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Super Fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hey, Justin, how are you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Neil. Still recovering off of my high from yesterday's absolutely terrific win. Not even seeing the Arizona Cardinals come away with the W can diminish my my good feelings.
Okay, just paint us a picture, Justin. In the last 2 or 3 minutes of that game, you know, Seattle take the lead, and the ball goes back to the Falcons. What are you doing? Are you sitting? Are you sitting under your table? Are you sitting behind the sofa? Are you? Do you dare to watch the television, or are you in another room?
I am crowded with a group of people. Every one of us so hushed you could hear a pin fall, waiting for that last play to erupt.
isn't I know it's great to watch sport with other people in your house or in a bar or whatever, but sometimes don't you just want to be all by yourself?
Yeah, especially if you lose. that's when it's better to not have anybody else around.
Well, as a Seattle fan, you won't be experiencing that very often so far this season, and so unlike Washington, we're getting used to having losing seasons. But anyway, Justin, let's get on with these power rankings. Last week, we had San Francisco at number 32, and here again this week, San Francisco number 32. They were obliterated by Buffalo on Sunday. I'm kind of looking this week with the dead enders to find the biggest weakness with that team. And I think we possibly saw it on Sunday when you see that defense, it gave up, what, over 200 yards of rushing. LeSean McCoy just going crazy.
Yeah, you can make a case that they have the worst defense in the league. That was the one side of the ball that actually had a little bit of hope coming into the season because they had some good players. But they're all getting hurt, they're all lost, and I think for the most part, they all don't really care that much anymore. Obviously, their offense isn't helping, that Chip Kelly offense, which seems to keep that defense on the field a lot, with those like quick three and outs, quick turnarounds. So I think that some of that you have to attribute to the way that they play their offense. But as it is, you know, they rank near the bottom in pretty much every category, like you'd expect a bottom feeder team to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a quick look at the... I quite like to keep a look at the first round picks, especially from the previous draft, to see how they're doing, how many snaps they're getting, and I can tell you that DeForest Buckner, their big first round draft choice, he actually has the most. He's played the most snaps of any San Francisco defensive lineman, and you could say on the one hand, well, he must be really good. That's excellent that he's doing so well, but in such a poor, struggling team, I also. In this instance, I don't think that's a good thing. I think he should be a young player getting spelled and getting a little spells in the defense. But he's playing more than anybody on that defensive line, and that's maybe not so good.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I was really really high on him coming out of school, and I think he could be really, really good as long as he doesn't get ground to dust by the 49ers.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, up to number 31, we have the Cleveland Browns, still clinging to just slightly above the 32nd place ranking. Again, another one. I think we know the Cleveland Browns now. They've got an offense that can put some points on the board and they can hang with teams. But that defense, on Sunday, they were minus Joe Hayden at cornerback as well. They're just conceding too many points in every game.
Yeah, their defense is horrific. Their offense actually has some nice pieces. I thought Kessler played well. And I mean, we talked about him before, but Terrell Pryor, he could be a budding star at this point, a do-everything guy. So, you know, if you're a Cleveland fan, this is just the year to watch Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, he looks terrific. I saw him against Josh Norman, and he had some great plays there, played really well. He looks like he's done a lot of work in the offseason to get himself going. However, with a 30th ranked defense, you're not really going to go very, very well, are you? And they're going to be looking for help across the board. But I do wonder, Justin, isn't it about now that they should be thinking about trading Joe Thomas?
Yeah, easier said than done, though. I mean, it's not that easy just to plug and play an offensive lineman. You know, you have to worry about schemes. Communication is so key. A lot of times we've seen that the whole of an offensive line can be greater than the sum of its parts. That being said, Joe Thomas is a good enough player that I'm sure you could plug him in anywhere and succeed. I also don't know how much he would cost, what they would want in compensation in return. So it's kind of a pipe dream. I mean, maybe they could do it a la Alex Mack, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it.
So you don't fancy Joe Thomas donning a dark blue and lime green shirt?
I would absolutely love it. I just don't think that it's got a snowball's chance in hell.
Up to number 30, or no change at number 30 from last week. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they were on a bye. It is worth noting, though, that Tampa Bay got the 10th ranked defense in terms of yards, but they're still giving up 28 points a game. That's an odd one. But with the 29th ranked offense, they're not really going anywhere, are they?
Yeah, that tells me you're giving the other team really, really good field position.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough season for Winston. He keeps showing signs of promise, but it's not a great surrounding cast he has. Up to number 29, we have the Chicago Bears. Again, no change from last week. But another team who can put points on the board. 6th in yards on that offense. And that's all down to Brian Hoyer, the great Brian Hoyer, and Meredith. Is he a wide receiver, Meredith? He seems to have done well in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and don't forget about the young running back, the one who's not Jeremy Langford. He seems to be playing really well also. So they've got some young pieces. Here's a team that might have some building blocks for the future, but this year their goose is cooked.
Also, Willie Young seems to be getting on the stack, the sack sheet every week. He's up to 5 or 6 sacks on the season from his defensive line position, so good going for him. At number 28 and down 3 spots, the Indianapolis Colts, and oh goodness me, did they throw away a game late on Sunday.
Yeah, that was spectacular fashion. All they had to do was stop Brock Osweiler on one of the last two possessions of the game, and they didn't succeed either time. Andrew Luck, I think, is playing pretty solid football, but that's not nearly good enough to carry this bottom of the league roster to victory.
He had a play, I think it was mentioned on the podcast, where he underthrew Hilton in the last drive they had, and Hilton just about caught it. It just touched the ground, but it was underthrown ball. He was wide open, and that probably would have won the game for them. But yeah. I think you nailed it, Justin. If you can't stop Brock Osweiler in back-to-back drives, then you probably deserve to lose. And with the 31st ranked defense in terms of yards in the league, you can understand it. That's horrible, and they need to improve that. That's their biggest weakness, isn't it, the defense?
Oh, by far. They're actually, you know, they've got nice weapons on offense. Their offensive line's actually playing a little bit better. but that defense is not stopping anybody.
No, absolutely. And in a very, very poor division all round there in the AFC South. Miami Dolphins up one spot. I think we mentioned it last week, Justin. Miami have got talent there. They have players who can really play at the top level of the sport, and yet they rarely show up. But this week, they showed up. They knocked Roethlisberger out of the game for a little bit. And Jay Ajayi, I think he went over 200-yard rushing, didn't he?
Yes, he did, which was really, really impressive. This is a part where I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit, though. I think that if you're a bottom third team and you knock off one of our top, they were a top five team at the time, you deserve more than one spot moving up.
Where would you put them? Would you move them up into the pretenders section?
Borderline. I would take Miami right now, definitely over the Jets, over Tennessee, over Jacksonville, probably over the LA Rams. So maybe I saddle them right next to Carolina, maybe just after.
Okay, I shall make a note of that, Justin, and deal with that later on. But maybe you're right. Maybe I'm a little bit harsh with Miami. It's just Miami are just so frustrating. You watch them and you think, oh, goodness me. Is it just the first 11 fans who walked into the stadium who are playing there on offense? It's just awful sometimes. And then they turn out a performance like that. Jay Ajayi has done nothing in his career to date. And yet, boom, 200 yards. And you think, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, don't know. Crazy. Let's see. Maybe next week, if they put another good performance, then we'll shift them up a few spots. But right now, they're behind the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are in 26th place. They had a win against Chicago at the weekend. And with that fifth-ranked defense in terms of yards, Justin, there's a little bit of hope there. But the weakness, the weakness is the offense. And who would have thought that going into the season?
Yeah, although they have the fifth-ranked defense, but they're still giving up over 25 points per game. So that's still not good defensive play at all. And the offense is what baffles me. I still think Blake Bortles is a pretty good quarterback, and those wide receivers are really, really good. They still have Julius Thomas. If their offense can figure it out and start carrying their weight and doing what we thought they could, this is a team that could shoot up the list really fast. But at least for right now, that offense is just...
Allen Robinson hasn't had this season, has he, so far, that he had last year? He looked like a breakout player last year.
I thought he was a star. I still think he will be, honestly. He'll come around. When you watch him, he is still, I think, clearly the most talented player on the field. He was incredible in the preseason. We'll see, but I still have faith in him.
I know even Miles Jack got on the field this week, so that's good news for Jacksonville. Great to see him on the field. Up to number 25, up one spot, the Tennessee Titans. And hey, Tennessee, Mariota has woken up.
Yeah, just like I said he would a couple weeks ago. I think he's making all the right adjustments. It's not against the best competition, but I think that's kind of what he needs right now to figure his stuff out. I think that, what you're seeing now, he'll probably have some up and down games, but I think overall this is the real Marcus Mariota.
Yep, you certainly did, and I think we were both hopeful that he would pick it up. That's great to see, and with that running attack, they may well slowly climb the list. Anyway, at the moment, and I would have to, I must point out, Justin, that I did these power ranks yesterday, and this was before the Monday Night Football game, and I think we can say that the Monday Night Football game did not go very well for the New York Jets.
No, I wouldn't blame you if after how these past couple of games for them have went, you put them somewhere in the low to mid 40s.
Yes, I think they'll be on they'll be on the second page of the spreadsheet by this time next week. I have to say, Justin, you look at the Jets and you think, okay, they're playing Arizona. That's always difficult. But they're not playing a great Arizona team. Last week we had Arizona at number 17 in these rankings, so they've just lost to a team that's not in the top three or four teams. It's a poor Arizona team, and I don't know. I'll try to think what's the biggest weakness for the New York Jets. I think just being the New York Jets appears to be the biggest weakness.
Yeah, I think the Jets do just fine until they take the field. That's when all the problems start to pop up. As long as they didn't have to do that, they'd probably be okay. And, I mean, realistically, since we're not going to talk about them much, the Arizona Cardinals, Still, I don't think we're that impressive. They were playing such a terrible team. David Johnson is impressive, but last year's Arizona Cardinals put up 50 on this version of the New York Jets.
Yeah, we're not seeing the Arizona Cardinals who were blowing out teams last year. That's for sure. Okay, the final team in the dead enders list, at number 23, it's the LA Rams, and success for Jeff Fisher. After last week, they climbed all the way up to number 18. He has he's done his job and got them back down into the 20s with the 23rd ranked offense, the 20th ranked defense, and it's just all a little bit familiar, isn't it, for the LA Rams?
The term I like for Jeff Fisher is aggressively mediocre. He fights so hard to be just so middle of the pack, and boy, is he doing a great job. You know, everybody who follows NFC West knows that as soon as the LA Rams aren't playing NFC West teams, they fold. And that's what they're doing right now. They're just folding. They'll probably win later and sweep my Seahawks and the Cardinals and all that, but they're going to lose every other game. They're a bad team.
They are a bad team. I look at that team, Justin, and I think to myself, because obviously Washington were, a lot of the players on that Rams team came via the massive trade in 2012. You think of Greg Robinson. Obviously, Aaron Donald was a big success. But Greg Robinson at tackle, he at the time was this next, he was the next Orlando Pace. He was the next Walter Jones. And I'm not sure, Justin, he looks to be a complete and utter bust.
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit offline. I don't believe that you can call somebody the next Walter Jones or Orlando Pace coming out of college anymore. The way they play is too different. What they're asked to do is so dissimilar. You know, all they really have to go on is basically their size and body type, which doesn't tell you anything about how productive they'll be at this level. So, I'll be honest, I don't ever want to see my team take an offensive lineman in the top 10 because he's supposed to be the next all-time great, because he won't be.
Yeah, it's been a struggle, hasn't it, in the last few years? I certainly know from Washington, we seem to have dodged a bullet there. Brandon Scherff, who actually came to us as a right tackle, moved into guard and has been really good, but it's a few and far between. I think part of the problem, well, I don't know, maybe part of the scouting has to change nowadays to where you look at these offensive linemen and say, okay, that's what you've done in college, but actually how intelligent are you? How able are you to make mental changes and to learn and develop as a player? Maybe that's even more important than actually the physical talents.
I completely agree. I mean, you know, I don't want to spend too much time harping on it, but that's what the Tom Cable does. You know, we've turned multiple defensive linemen into offensive linemen because he basically doesn't believe that any of what they did in college as linemen matter. He thinks that all that technique is terrible, and so he just wants to look at raw abilities and work ethic and smart and see if he can turn you into a starting NFL player, and he's done that a few times. You know, look at some of the guys who have gone on to big contracts with other teams. So I think you're going to see more and more coaching staffs adopt that approach.
You know, Justin, you impress me more and more every time we talk. You can take any point from any team in any division in this league, and you can turn it into a Seattle positive. Well done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's nothing positive that any team does that cannot be traced back directly to Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. Right, let's move swiftly on from that. I'm going to mention I'll just go through the numbers 22 to 11 in the pretenders, and then we'll go back to speak about a couple of them because there's been a couple of quite major changes there. Number 22, we have Carolina Panthers. Then it's Detroit, New Orleans, Houston, Cincinnati at 18, Arizona, San Diego, Baltimore, the New York Giants at 14, Philadelphia, Washington up to 12, and Buffalo up to 11. And let's just take a couple of those teams there. First of all, Carolina Panthers. They are sinking like a stone, Justin.
Yeah, this team is even worse than I expected. I don't see any upside to them. I don't think they're playing well on any level. So, you know, here's a team that maybe next week we'll talk about a little bit more because they'll be in the dead enders category.
Maybe. They're down 8 places, Justin, and that's a big drop. And you look at Carolina and you think, yeah, okay. They've got an upper echelon quarterback. They've got some talent there, Jonathan Stewart, etc. Defensively, Luke Kuechly, these kind of guys, Kwon Short. But as you know, each team has a Super Bowl window. In the NFL these days, you don't have powerhouse teams like you did in the 80s and 90s. You've got a little window, three or four seasons, where you've got to try and capitalize. Okay, the Patriots are different. Let's take them off the table. But in terms of all the other teams, it's all about a 3 to 4 year window and making the best of it. And I'm not sure, looking back, that trading or releasing Josh Norman was the best idea for Carolina. That's really sunk them in that defensive backfield.
I think that's very well put. I mean, he's playing well in Washington, even though he was criticized a little bit at the start of the year. And, you know, this defense got rid of its basically entire secondary over the offseason. And so we shouldn't be surprised that they're doing really, really poorly. And, yeah, I completely agree with what you say about championship windows. I mean, let's be honest, for the New England Patriots, their championship window looks like a greenhouse. And for this Carolina Panthers, it looks like it's the little people you use to peek on the neighbors at your front door.
Yeah, well, what you do in your spare time, Justin, is entirely up to you. The Cincinnati Bengals, they have dropped 5 places. Again, also very similar to Carolina, sinking like a stone, although maybe a little bit harsh this week because they did lose to New England. But we're not seeing an awful lot from Cincinnati, are we?
No. This is another team that typically plays really, really well and then just loses big games, but they're not even winning the little games right now. You know, I think, what, they're 2-3 or something right now. They need to show me some signs of life. It was a big blow. I didn't expect it to have this kind of ramifications, though.
No, I didn't expect to see them down here. I thought I actually thought they had the depth to withstand the Eifert injury and so, but no, they're dropping. But some good news in this group here: the San Diego Chargers up 7 spots, and I took the time out on Thursday night to sit and watch this game against Denver, where they won. They were excellent. They were excellent, and I love their color rush uniforms too.
I won't comment on the uniforms too much, but you know, they actually have a positive point differential. They're overall, you know, the games that they lost were nail biters that were really narrow and, let's be honest, a little bit fluky. And their wins have been solid wins. This is a team that I think can play with anybody. I think that, you know, bad luck has been their biggest issue so far.
Okay, Justin, that's great. We just note that Buffalo and Washington also moved up 4 spots each in the rankings. But let's get up into these contenders now. And we, at number 10, we've got the Green Bay Packers. They're down 1. And if it wasn't for a whole lot of other teams doing quite well this week, I would have dropped them further. They are a huge disappointment.
Yeah, tremendous disappointment going back to last year, which we've kind of harped on. I think that their defense is good. It's a good defense, and it has been last year as well. You know, if their offense from a few years ago had this defense, you might be talking about the best team in the league, but that offense has not been carrying its weight. And, you know, the more that this is the new normal for Aaron Rodgers. He's not a cliff, but into a quarterback ditch of some sort or something.
I don't know what's happened to the guy. I just don't know. From being the potentially the greatest quarterback of all time, he doesn't look like he's barely a middle of the pack quarterback. Anyway, up to number 9, Justin, and we have the Oakland Raiders. They're down 1 spot in a very disappointing divisional loss to Kansas City. But their biggest weakness, we all know what that is, it's a 32nd ranked defense, certainly in terms of yards, and they're just giving up too many points. 27 points a game they're giving up. That's a lot for a team at number 9.
That's just not very good, as they say. No, this is a defense that has star power, and I thought would be terrific, and has been bad. Not only that, but they gave up, 26 points to the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Granted, you know, it's Andy Reid coming off the bye, he doesn't lose, but even still, it's just, you know, here's a team that, what they were 4-1 going into this game, their one loss was kind of disappointing. One of their wins was a narrow one against the Saints, who were not a very good team. So I just don't know where they are right now. They're such a tough team to peg.
Absolutely. At number 8, down 3 spots, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do we know yet how bad the Roethlisberger injury is? Certainly last night they were saying he was going to miss at least one game, and depending on the surgery it may be more. But not only that, but it was a very, very poor showing against against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, this is another spot where we disagree. I think you need to drop them more than this. If this was just their kind of one token lose to a bad team game of the year, I would be more forgiving. But this is the second time this has happened. Don't forget that this is a team that, yes, they lost to the Dolphins. They also only scored 3 points against the Eagles, who were sort of falling back to earth right now. This team is not nearly as strong as I thought it was. It sounds like Big Ben's not going to have surgery. So he'll probably only miss, you know, a couple of games. But, you know, I think they'll win their division, but I no longer am so confident that they're one of the absolute championship-caliber teams in the NFL.
Absolutely, and there'll be a chance for us to find out if Landry Jones is good or if he's going to end up being Laundry Jones and being washed up. But I do wonder with Pittsburgh... Well, okay, Justin, you want to drop them. How far down do you want to drop them? They're at number 8 at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I would... Below Oakland, below Green Bay. And, yeah, probably just there for now. I'm not quite ready to put Buffalo or Washington above them. But maybe just, you know, the very, very edge of the top 10.
Okay. Okay, number 7, we've got the Denver Broncos down 3 spots after what was a really poor performance. I know last year they didn't do much in terms of quarterback play, but they looked way off the pace against the San Diego Chargers on Thursday night. And yeah, defense is still playing well, only giving up 18 points a game, but are they doing enough offensively?
No, they're not. And you know, that's an issue for them. Their quarterback play is bad, and they're also not getting much out of their running game. They're also not getting a ton of help from the wide receivers, although I think overall Emmanuel Sanders has played pretty well. But you know, they're just not doing anything on offense, and they're relying on the defense to do everything. And there's a limit to how much you can do that, especially with a defense that has lost a few pieces in the offseason. So this is a team that I think, you know, we probably saw as high as they're going to get last week.
Yeah, quite possibly. Up at number 6, we've got the Dallas Cowboys, who have gone up 5 spots, and I think deservedly so, even though it's hard to say that as a Washington fan. And it's really on the back of Zeke Elliott, who has 703 yards from scrimmage so far this season, at a 500-yard average, a 5.1-yard average, and he's well ahead of McCoy in second place. He's looking good, although I still wouldn't pick him so high in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of running backs could have this kind of success running for that team behind that offensive line and with that potent passing attack. This one is so tough for me because I still look at them and I still think, you know, this team could beat them, this team could beat them, this team could beat them. But all they do is win. And at the end of the day, you are what your record says you are. And the record says that they are a terrific, terrific football team.
They're doing very similar to what they did in 2014, I'm going to say, where they ran DeMarco Murray behind that great offensive line and used up huge chunks of the clock and took the pressure off their defense. I do wonder, though, if at the end of the day, are they going to be too one-dimensional? And then, of course, we'll have the question of when Romo's back fit again, if he comes straight back in and starts. Anyway, that's for another day. At number 5, the Kansas City Chiefs, up 2 spots, and as bad as it was for Oakland on Sunday, Kansas City have got to be very, very pleased. And you don't want to play Kansas City after a bye week.
Yeah, that much is well established. Any team that has Andy Reid as the offensive as the head coach, do not play them after a bye week. It's like 16-2. It's, you know, that's not fluky. That's not luck. He somehow makes tremendous adjustments. Maybe he spends an extra week figuring out his time management so that it's actually decent for one game. Don't know what it is, but do not play him coming off of a bye. I was surprised by the results of this. I do like Kansas City a little bit better than Oakland, but I, you know, I'll pretty much always take the home team in a division game. And so to go in there on the road, you know, and then they're going to be hosting in Oakland later in the year at Arrowhead, which is one of the hardest stadiums to play in. So I think they've got a great shot to sweep Oakland.
And that would be very important for them when it comes down to playoff chances at the end of the season. 2 games up if they get the second game against one of your main opponents in the division. So Atlanta at number 4, they're up 2 spots. And although they lost the game, Justin, in circumstances we don't need to go into here, I was impressed that Atlanta, for the third consecutive week, looked terrific.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that they did some really nice stuff, and I don't want to kick them while they're down, but realistically, it was all the third quarter, like all the points that they scored, and it was largely off of some busted coverages. And, you know, full props to them for exploiting these matchups, but also don't forget how they looked in the first half, you know, where they only scored 3 points, you know, were being pretty much pushed around by the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know if this is the sort of loss where I can move somebody up after losing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but remember, for the rest of us mere mortals, they were playing one of the highest ranked teams in the league in a stadium where rarely does a team do well, let alone win. So I put them up because of that. I thought they passed another test, if you like, even though they lost the game. And I'm very impressed with their offense. I mean, Matt Ryan is getting the job done. And it was, I have to say, speaking on behalf of the rest of the NFL, Justin, it was a delight to see Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and the rest of the defensive backs having a bit of a squabble on the sideline.
Yeah, it's rare that they have multiple busted coverages, and you can see that really stuck in their craw. I think that and it was a healthy argument they had at the end, and it certainly seemed to pay off because they clapped back down in the fourth quarter.
Sure. A win's a win, huh? Anyway, at number three, we have no change. The Minnesota Vikings, who were on a bye, and just got to say, Justin, one stat which stands out for the Minnesota Vikings is that their defense is conceding 12.6 points a game. That is that's impressive.
That is super impressive. They've got my Seahawks beat. I think their defense tremendous. I think that their offense, you know, has better, I think, than people realize. You know, it's, I think it's what the worst in terms of yards, but they actually score points at a pretty good clip. I think some of that is getting, you know, favorable field position from their defense, and they seem to do a pretty good job of punching it in when they have an opportunity.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the reason they're the 32nd ranked offense in terms of yards, because they're getting the ball in the opponent's half through turnovers. Yeah, you're spot on, Justin. Okay, number two. At number two, we've got the same old problem as we had last week, Justin. We've got the Seattle Seahawks at number two, and I know you want them at number one, but well, I think we saw against Atlanta they may not be as great as maybe we think they are. There's a little few chinks there.
I mean, I suppose. I mean, you know, facing the number one offense in the NFL. you know, facing the number one offense in the NFL, you shoot them down for three quarters, and then, you know, you get your backup safety exploited on some busted coverages. I think that overall, it's a team that doesn't really have a lot in the way of weakness. But that's also true of your number one team. I don't object to having them, you know, not in the number one spot. I think that this is a team that is very, very strong, and I think that, you know, this is, you know, still a very, very big win against a, you know, what, top five team in our power ranks right now, a top four team. So, you know, when you beat a top four team in your power ranks, that helps you keep a pretty high spot.
No, absolutely. And in terms of Cam Chancellor, he missed the game on Sunday. Is he injured long term, or what's the problem there?
No, he was really close to being able to go. He was just limited by the biggest problem was he tweaked his groin late in the week, and so there wasn't enough time for him to recover. You know, he went through pregame drills, just couldn't quite go. He'll be back at practice this week, just like normal.
Yeah, and it was impressive. Wilson looks fit again and healthy, no problems with his legs, so good news for Seattle. But the bad news for Seattle is they're still number two, because New England retained their spot at number one. They'd be number one for the second consecutive week in our rankings. And, yeah, they look quite good. But even better, Gronkowski looked fantastic, didn't he, the weekend?
You know, it's so funny how little Gronkowski did. Obviously, he missed a couple of games. But even when he was in without Tom Brady, and then as soon as Tom Brady comes in, Rob Gronkowski goes back to being Gronk. So that's really good to see if you're a Patriots fan. Their ability to create these matchup nightmares using those two really, really good tight ends is going to pay dividends throughout the entire season. It's hard to know what to make of them, because, you know, we dropped Cincinnati down pretty aggressively these last couple of weeks, but there's a part of me that feels like Cincinnati is a good team, and I feel like this is a quality win against a quality opponent. But you know, I haven't seen anything to dissuade me that they're not one of the very best, most difficult teams to beat in the NFL.
What's really tricky for any team playing New England is that they're only giving up 15 points a game. I mean, you've got Tom Brady playing on offense for you. You only need 16 points to win, then it's going to be good news for New England fans. Okay, Justin, that's our contenders from 10 to 1. New England still at number 1. I have a very quick extra point for you this week. I was just looking at running backs, and because we talk so much about the running back position being devalued nowadays, but actually, here's a little stat for you, and a little pointer for when Christian Michael gets going next week against whoever you're playing. Where a running back has gone 120 yards or more this season in a single game, that's happened 17 times. And the team who has the running back who's gone 121 plus yards has 16 wins. So there's a little indicator when you're watching your game. If Michael gets to 121 yards, the chances are you're going to win that game.
I think that's a great observation. I think that a dynamic running attack has gotten so rare in the NFL that teams that can do it are able to do things like dominate time of possession and kind of dictate the pace and the flow of the game. And so teams that can do that, especially if you've got a solid defense, that's so strong and so tough to overcome. On the flip side, though, it's also, you know, worth observing that if you are in the lead, you're also more likely to run the ball more and accumulate more yards. So, you know, you have to kind of take both of those things into context, right? That teams that run well often win, and if you're in the lead, you're probably going to run more and accumulate yards. But overall, you know, it's so uncommon in the NFL to have a really good rushing attack. And if you do, you can really, really do things that make life difficult on the opposing team.
That's true, Justin. I would just want to add, though, that reality is still reality. And of this... of the 16 teams who won in those 17 games, the one team who didn't win, who could it be? Who could possibly have not won the game when the running back had over 120 yards? Yes, it was the Cleveland Browns. Poor old Cleveland. They can't even win there.
Oh boy,
that's terrible, isn't it? What a shame.
That's bad football.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Justin. Anything from you?
The one thing that I do want to point out a little bit as we're talking things like offensive and defensive ranks is, you know, we didn't do much to correct for strength of opponent. And I think that's something it's difficult to do this early in the season, but we're starting to get a sense of it. You know, the Patriots have a really good defense. They have for several years. Bill Belichick is a defensive-minded head coach. By the same token, you know, the teams that they have played have been the current version of the Cardinals that are not very impressive, the Dolphins, the Texans, the Bills, the Browns. I mean, yeah, it's a good defense, but boy, that will certainly help with your total scoring ranks when you're playing that. not exactly murderer's row there. So I just want to make sure that for any stat heads listening, and for James, our Texans fan, who has probably thrown his iPod in rage already at us even attempting to look at stats, that we are aware of things like that, but it's still fun to look at just overall ranks to compare teams.
Yeah, absolutely. James is certainly the king of stats. That stat line he gave us to do the San Diego Denver game last week, which is posted, I believe, on Twitter and on Facebook. Excellent stuff. And yes, I don't want to. I'm not impinging upon James's stat land. He's got that all to himself. But always interesting just to see. I especially like I think there's a correlation to be made between the points you score and the points you concede, and how your team actually looks. I think that's a really obviously points are important in football, but over the course of a season, I think it's a good stick by which to measure teams.
Oh, the Hall of Famer John Madden would be very, very proud of your analysis right there. But before you send us away, let me give a quick shout-out to our sponsor, BetDSI. That's BetDSI.com. Been in the business over 20 years. Use our promo code FANUP10 to get a free $10. You also get a 100% bonus bet on all sorts of stuff like football, like other sports, like the elections, all sorts of things. And just make sure you use that promo code FANUP10 to get that free $10.
Okay, Justin, if anybody wants to dispute these rankings with you, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Koreis, that's at K-O-R-E-I-S. If you want to get into a great argument with me, I am always looking forward to it.
And if you want to just tell me how great my rankings are, you can find me at NeilSalmon71 on Twitter. And Justin, we can leave it there, and we'll look forward to week 7 next week, and no doubt more changes up and down the next Fan Up Power Rankings.
Well, I think we learned today that you know, this game is 4 quarters long.
Well, Cleveland's too. Oh God.